In the predominantly black Fraser neighborhood of South Dallas, the average income per person is little more than $12,000. And people living here used to be three times as likely to die from diabetes-related complications than the average Dallas County resident.
We were seeing way too many patients coming from this particular area, coming to our emergency department too late many times, losing limbs, eyesight, and obviously type 2 diabetes was a reason for that.
That's Joel Allison. He's CEO of the Baylor Healthcare System and one of the creators of the Diabetes Health and Wellness Institute. The institute, which was built in 2010 at the Juanita J. Craft Recreation Center, now serves 3,500 people.
What we want to do is move outside the walls of the hospital, so to speak, and go into the community and show that you can truly improve the health of a community by focusing on prevention and wellness and not just be in the sick care business.
So in addition to nurses and doctors, the center has a gym, personal health coaches, and weekly cooking classes.
Okay, so that's another reason why we want to leave the skin on the zucchini, just because we get a lot of health benefits from it.
Today, a few dozen people are following along as Chef Zoe Muller prepares zucchini fries. Learning what to eat is one thing. Access to fresh vegetables in this part of town is another. That's why the ingredients, today it's zucchini, will be sold at the center's weekly farm stand on Friday.
This is a food desert where there's just not a lot of healthy eating opportunities.
Dr. Shade Lester is medical director at the Institute.
So it's easy for, as a physician, to walk in the room and say, do this and do this, here's your prescription, see you later, come back in 3 months. But if we really are going to make that type of difference, we've got to really understand where those problems are.
Melvin Tuck, a Pleasant Grove resident, has been seeing a doctor here for 6 months.
They really generally show that they care. It's not like you go to a doctor and he's got dozens of patients and you don't feel that he has any sincerity. He's just going by the book. With her, she sits down and talks with me. She calls and makes sure that I'm doing what I need to do.
Tuck says diabetes is a silent killer, and he feels lucky to be alive. At 57, he's been in and out of the hospital for erratic high blood sugar and has neuropathy. It's a constant tingling, he says, in his legs. When Tuck lost his health insurance last year, the Diabetes Health and Wellness Institute took him in.
I couldn't afford the medicines, insulin, my pills, $250 for 60 pills. I can't afford that. They helped me. They got me over the hump until we got insurance.
Tuck's blood sugar levels are down from 10% to 6.9%, and he's not the only one. A 2012 survey of the Institute's members revealed nearly half had achieved the optimal blood glucose level of less than 7%. Baylor's Joel Allison says there was also a decrease in emergency room use by 40%.
We are seeing definite improvements, and we believe this is a model that could be moved around.
The problem? Funding. Giving people this level of care in what's called a patient-centered medical home, it doesn't come cheap. For the most part, clinics and hospitals are paid when someone is sick, not to prevent them from getting sick. And while the Affordable Care Act did create incentives for prevention, much of that money won't come to Texas because the state has refused to expand Medicaid.
This particular area has got a huge uninsured rate, i.e., right now, the patients that we see and the people that we're serving in this community, 85% unfunded.
That's right. 85% of these patients can't pay. So the center relies mostly on philanthropy and grants for innovation. Allison admits this model will be hard to replicate until more people have insurance and financial incentives focus on making people healthy, not treating them when they're sick. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.